You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Parshas Be'ez Chana. So the first pasuk after Shvi talks about when the Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring us to Eretz Yisrael, and He will give it to us l'rishto for an inheritance. And then the pasuk specifically articulates the seven nations that will be there: Hachiti, VaHagirgashi, VaHamori, VaKnani, VaPrizi, VaChivi, VaYevusi. The pasuk says, Goyim rabim va'atzumim mimeka. These nations that are greater and stronger than you, but a Kodesh Baruch Hu will deliver them into your hands. Unasonim Hashem alekecha lefanecha. And then it says some specific mitzvahs, which is the focus of today's shir. V'hikisem hachrim tachrim oisam. Utterly destroy them. And then it has three specific mitzvahs asay. Loisichrois lehem bris. You should not make covenants with them. And you should not have rachmonis on them. There are other interpretations which we will touch upon. And you should not intermarry with them. And then it says, because if you will, kiyosar es binchom acharai v'ovdu elohim acherim v'chora af Hashem b'chem v'hishmidchom maher. Kodesh Baruch Hu's wrath will be directed against you, and you will be quickly destroyed. So we see that if we don't follow these directives, there will be a spiritual and a physical existential threat to Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So if we go to the Mamloes, he'll give us a quick background. Parsha Zu, Nitztavu Yisrael al Sholish Mitzvahs. We articulated there are three different mitzvahs. Hachrem Tachrem Oysam. And he says, "V'zu achas mitzvus asei shebetera laharoy kol echod mishivus amamim habaliyad." And if we don't kill them, then we're being over in a mitzvus asei. And then he says, "This is dafko if the goyim do not want to be mekabel on themselves to disavow their practice of avodah zarah, but if they do accept." What Klal Yisrael tells them to stop doing avodah zarah, ulikaim sheva mitzvah shel b'nei noach, v'liyos tachas yad Yisrael lahalos mas la'aver amelech begufum v'moinom manichem oisam. If they accept the sovereignty of Eretz Yisrael, which will be under our hands, then you don't have to kill them and wipe them out in the fashion that the pasuk directs us to. And then he says all kinds of special mitzvahs, and the Mamloes is now quoting the Rambam. You should not make shalom with them. That's false. And then he says, you shouldn't have rachmones on them. You should not give them refuas. And included in this prohibition is that you can't sell them karka, that they should live there. That they should dwell with you. You're not allowed to give them matonis. You're not allowed to give them tzedakah. All of this is part of loy sichonim. But then he says, which included in the Sheva Mitzvahs Bein Noach, in the Sheva Mitzvahs Bein Noach it says, there's an Isser Ritzicha, you're not allowed to kill, and Gozel, and the Znus, and Isser Avoida Zorah, and the Chiyah of having Dinim, of having what they din. If they don't accept this upon themselves, then they'll feel that they're allowed to kill and to do ne'ifa, and they will be matama the oritz with their avodah zarah. Umemela, it will result in the destruction of the land. As we said, it'll be a spiritual and a physical existential threat to Klal Yisrael when they come into Eretz Yisrael if they do not follow this directive, these mitzvahs in the Torah. So I think that it's important to speak out that although Klal Yisrael has been directed by Kodesh Baruch Hu to be Rachmanim and Baishonim and Bali Mil Chasodim, so this mitzvah seems to be counterintuitive. How can we Hachim Tachim, we have to wipe them out? So we have to understand, and that's the focus of this shir, what was special about that time and that place and those specific Shiva Amim? Why were these special, specific, harsh mitzvahs given to us to utterly destroy them and to prohibit specific interactions with them? So now we will go to the Chinuch, Mitzvah Tuf Chuf Hei, 425. Laharig Shiva Amamin, who were the previous people who lived in Eretz Canaan before Kodesh Baruch Hu took us in. And as is the approach of the Sefer HaChinuch, he gives us the Shoroshe HaMitzvah, the root concept of this mitzvah. And he says that these seven nations were special insofar that they were the Iker Avodah Zorah and the foundations of all others who practice Avodah Zorah. And the Avodah Zorah that they practice and the detestable rites connected with the Avodah Zorah are detestable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be utterly destroyed. This is similar when you say about certain Rishonim Yimach Shemoim, that their memory should be blotted out by virtue of the fact of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated them for the evil that they did. And he continues, and he says, Yimotzo lanu te'eles, there's going to be a benefit for us that we have the schus of destroying this abomination from the world. V'loy nilmad mimaseihem. And it seems that their avodah zorah was a specific potent moral contagion. It was a contagious disease, so to speak. And when Klal Yisrael will see how focused the mitzvah is to destroy every remembrance of these practices and to destroy the places where it was practiced and the asheris and the trees that they bowed down to and all of the times that they did, then Klal Yisrael, even though they know about Avodah Zorah and the Isra Avodah Zorah, they will be more reluctant to get anywhere near Avodah Zorah because they see how assiduous, how focused HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that we should be oikah these nations mikoel v'koel, they and their memories. And then he proceeds to ask an interesting question, the Chinuch. Ve'ein l'shel klal lama nivru ha'umas haroyis elu, ach she'sofen la'abed legamrei min ha'olam. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu had, kiviyochel, had such strong negative feelings about this nation that he wanted their memory to be blotted out, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu create these nations altogether? So he gives a few alternative ideas. Firstly, he says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Rishus Nusuna Biyodei Shel Adam Lios Toiva Oira. People are given Bechira Chavshus. They're given the right to go to good or evil. This is how Kodesh Baruch Hu created mankind. And it could be that originally, because they had the choice, they could have opted not to go in the way of depravity and follow these detestable Avodah Zorahs. But they willfully were kilkalu maaseim v'yoshu ach and ischaivu kulan avodon umoves. They doomed themselves. In other words, it was not predestined that they should have to do this. U'betchilas habriyo yoruyin gam l'toivo. They could have done good. So that's the first teretz. But then he has a very intriguing second teretz that he gives. Ki efshe shehoya lohem bizman min hazmanim shasa koisha u'pnei oisa asher zochu liboros. That Kodesh Baruch Hu created them and wanted to give them warnings, and through the history, Kodesh Baruch Hu did give them warnings, and they did not heed the warnings. And then he says a third reason: Ulay noima shiyotza meben kulam adam echad hagun ubeshvilo izochu kulan lihiboros. Dear friends, this is the core concept that I want to share with you in this year that I would like to especially focus on. So the Chinuch continues and says, וכעניין שמצינו חכם אחד שאמרו זכרנו לברכה שהיו מבני בנב של המולק, that there was a descendant of a Molek who was an emperor who became a Ger Tzedek, and he was such a virtuous person that it was worthwhile for all of the Rishoyim to be born, who HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyochel hates. The whole nation was worthwhile just for the birth of the Ger Antoninus Kesa. And the Shiva Amamin could have had such a person. The Chinuch is not saying that Antoninus was the one, because Antoninus was not a descendant of the Shiva Amamin. But such a person like Antoninus, if he would have been born, or someone like him, to the Shiva Amamin, it would have been worthwhile for Kadosh Baruch Hu to create all of these nations, and afterwards have them destroyed, as long as this one special person came to the world. So in summation, this particular Chinuch has a number of fascinating clarifications regarding this mitzvah, Laharig Shiva Amamin. And this last point that we mentioned highlights that a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kiviyochel intensely focuses on the mitzvahs and averis of individuals and of nations, and it could be a single individual, like Antoninus, was so important to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in a manner of speaking, made major alterations in history, just for the sake of the good deeds of this one special person. And although the mashal I'm now going to give is not perfect, but there is somewhat of an analogy of a story of the Kedushas Levi, which we have told before, that he heard someone davening Shemirna Esra in a very hurried fashion, and afterwards he went over to that person and he started speaking to the person who finished Shemirna Esra in a mumbling fashion. The Kedushas Levi told him, and the fellow said, "What, Rebbe, I don't understand." And the Rebbe said again, and he says, "Rebbe, I don't understand what you're saying." So this time the Kedushas Levi told him, "You don't understand what I'm saying. So how did you expect the Rabbeinu Shlom to understand what you just said? You just happened to hold Shemona Esau like that." So there was a third person who was standing there who said to the Kedushas Levi, "Rebbe, it's true that this fellow shouldn't have davened in that fashion. It was not bekovedik to the Rabbeinu Shlom, but just like a father can't understand the mumblings of a very small child, like a two-year-old, that nobody understands the mumbles, but the father understands. So too, perhaps the Rabbeinu Shel Olam listened to this fellow's tefillah, even though it was inappropriate, but he still was mekabel it and he understood it." I heard Rav Shvadron tell this story, and the punchline of this story that the Kedushas Levi says to this older man, who was, in a manner of speaking, a Melech Yosher, for the mumbler, Kedushas Levi told him it was kedai that you should be born and live 70 years just to say this one limud schus that you just articulated. Your whole life was worthwhile just for this one phrase. So similarly to the point that we just made with Antoninus, we should ponder our deeds, especially in this time after Tisha B'Av, we're on the road to Elul and to Yom Nerayim. If we take a different look and we analyze our behavior differently, and we realize how chashiv every positive thing we say is to Avinu Shebashamayim, and how the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will even listen to our tefillahs if we don't do it right, but we should do it right. But look how chashiv it is. Klapei Maila, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is ma'ayin in such detail in all of our actions that it can change our lives, the lives of our children, and the lives of everybody around us if we understand the ramifications and implications of the deeds that we do and the words that we say. Kodesh Baruch Hu should help, as we have always said, and continue to say, Aboil the Tar Messiah, Lord, if you want to do the right thing, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam will help us, and will be zeicha that we will be able to prepare for Elul and for Yom Nerayim, and we'll to start the new year, B'Kedusha, and with Yeshuas, which Klal Yisrael desperately needs and wants, which we've been waiting for so long. Yeshuas for us, for Klal Yisrael, and for Eretz Yisrael.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.